Our scripture reading this morning is Leviticus chapter 23, verses 9 through 14. This is the word of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb, a year old, without blemish, as a burnt offering to the Lord. And the grain offering with it shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, a food offering to the Lord with a pleasing aroma. And the drink offering with it shall be of wine, a fourth of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread nor grain parched or fresh until this same day, until you have brought the offering of your God. It is a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings." This is the word of the Lord. The feasts of the Lord tell the story of redemption. They were a shadow of the things to come, the substance of which is Christ. Each year, as the people of God celebrated these feasts, the feasts were to lead them to Christ, in whom all the feasts of the Lord have been fulfilled. The feasts of the Lord told the story of redemption each year. And so Israel's festal calendar began with the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Passover was a remembrance of God's delivering his people out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. But as we saw last week, the Passover was not only a remembrance, but also a participation. It was not only a remembrance of the Exodus, but a participation in the Exodus. Throughout the Old Testament, the Lord speaks to each generation of his people as the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. "I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Thus, for each generation, however far removed from the first Passover night, each generation, as they partook of the Passover, they were not only remembering God's work of deliverance in the Passover, but they were also participating in that work of deliverance. The Passover was an Old Testament sacrament. And so it was both remembrance and participation, which is how we understand the New Testament sacraments. Baptism and the Lord's Supper, they are not only remembrances of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they are also participations in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? The Passover was a remembrance, and it was a participation. Whoever partook of the Passover was to understand that God had brought him also out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The Passover marked the deliverance of God's people out of Egypt. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it marked the deliverance of Egypt out of God's people. The Passover marked the deliverance of God's people out of Egypt. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread marked the deliverance of Egypt out of God's people. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the leaven of Egypt, it was removed from Israel's midst. The influence of Egypt was removed from Israel's midst. Its ways, its customs, its practices, its worship, its idolatry, its doctrine, its life. The leaven of Egypt was removed from Israel. The Feast of Unleavened Bread marked the removal of the old leaven, the leaven of this world. It marked the removal of the old leaven from within Israel. For Israel was to be a holy nation. Israel was not to be like the nations of this world. For Israel was to be the nation of God. And so it was God's purpose, not only to remove Israel from the corruption of Egypt, but also to remove the corruption of Egypt from out of Israel. This is why Paul says to the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Israel remembered not only what God had done for them, but also what God was doing in them. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the people were reminded of what kind of people God had saved them to be. Now, when we get to the Feast of Weeks, we will see that Israel was not to remain unleavened, but rather, once the old leaven had been removed from Israel, new leaven was to be given to Israel. The old leaven was to be removed from Israel in order that new leaven could be placed within Israel, the leaven of the kingdom of God. For God did not only deliver his people out of something, he also brought them to something. He not only delivered them out of the land of Egypt, but he also brought them into the land of promise. He not only delivered them out of the house of bondage, but he also brought them to the house of the Lord. And we see this in Israel's festal calendar. What followed the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread? What followed the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread was the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits. It marked Israel's entrance into the land of promise and Israel's enjoyment of the blessings of that land. In the Feast of First Fruits, Israel remembered not only being brought out of one land, but also being brought into another land. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 10, "When you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest." Whereas the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread celebrated Israel's being delivered out of one land, the Feast of First Fruits celebrated Israel's being brought into another land. And whereas the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread celebrated the means of Israel's deliverance, deliverance through death, the Feast of First Fruits celebrated the purpose of that deliverance, deliverance unto life. The Passover with the Feast of Unleavened Bread was a participation in deliverance from death. And the Feast of First Fruits was a participation in deliverance unto life. The Passover, followed by the Feast of Unleavened Bread, followed by the Feast of First Fruits, it tells an important part of the story of redemption. It tells of how God's people were redeemed through the death of the firstborn in order that God's people might enjoy the first fruits of His kingdom. The Passover and the Feast of First Fruits, it tells an important part of the story of redemption. God's people were redeemed through the death of the firstborn in order that they might enjoy the first fruits of God's kingdom. If the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were a shadow of the death of Christ, and the Feast of First Fruits was a shadow of the resurrection of Christ. John chapter 12, verse 24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." The Feast of First Fruits followed the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the same way that resurrection follows death. The Feast of First Fruits was the celebration of the purpose for which Israel had been delivered, the enjoyment of life with God in the land of the Lord. The Feast of Unleavened Bread gives way to the Feast of First Fruits, and the Feast of First Fruits gives way to the Feast of Weeks. And again, when we get to the Feast of Weeks, we will see that is a feast of leavened bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread gives way to a Feast of Leavened Bread. The Feast of First Fruits then begins the celebration of life in the kingdom of God. The Feast of First Fruits, as we have read, it was marked by bringing the first of the harvest to the Lord. The people were to bring a sheaf of the first fruits to the priest. And the priest would take that sheaf and he would wave it before the Lord in order that the people might be accepted by the Lord. They were not to eat the bread of the land until they had brought the offering of the first fruits. It was only after the first fruits of the land had been offered to the Lord that the people could enjoy the fruit of the land before the Lord. And in verse 15 of our passage, this offering of first fruits, it is described as a wave offering. Or we might translate it as a raised offering. The offering was waved before the Lord, or we could say that it was lifted up to the Lord. As the offering was brought to the Lord, it was to be lifted up to the Lord. But why was this offering waved before the Lord, or raised to the Lord? What was the purpose of doing this? Well, the fact that the offering was to be lifted up, or to be raised, or to be elevated to the Lord, it makes more sense if we consider that the tabernacle was a representation of the mountain of the Lord. The tabernacle was a tent and horizontal, and yet it was a representation of a mountain. And so we ought to think of it as having been vertical. As one entered further into the tabernacle, it was a representation of him ascending higher on the mountain. The further one went into the tabernacle, the higher up the mountain he rose. And at the top of the mountain was the place where God dwelt, which is why the most holy place was the innermost place of the tabernacle. The most holy place is the innermost place of the tabernacle. It was the top of the mountain of the Lord. Now we see this idea in Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 9, at the very first service held at the tabernacle. In Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22, we read that Aaron came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And we might find that curious. We might expect to read that Aaron came out, that is, came out of the tent from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. But we are told instead that Aaron came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. Well, why is that? Because Aaron's entrance into the tabernacle to offer sacrifice before the Lord is depicted as an ascent, as his ascending the mountain of the Lord. And as he leaves the tabernacle to bless the people, his leaving the tabernacle is depicted as a descent, as his descending the mountain of the Lord. And so the wave offering brought to the tabernacle, it was lifted to the Lord. And why? Because God, dwelling in the most holy place of the tabernacle, was elevated above his people. But not every offering was a wave offering. The wave offering was unique. And it had a special relationship to the tabernacle and to those who dwelt in the tabernacle. In Exodus chapters 35 and 38, the contributions of the materials for the tabernacle, they are described as wave offerings to the Lord. As wave offerings to the Lord, they were set apart from a common to a holy use, becoming a part of the tabernacle itself, a part of the holy places where God would dwell. And we see this same idea in the consecration of the Levites and the priests for service in the tabernacle. In Numbers chapter 8, the people offer the Levites themselves as a wave offering to the Lord. Numbers chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. When you bring the Levites before the Lord, the people of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites, and Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering from the people of Israel, that they may do the service of the Lord. The Levites enter the tabernacle for service only after having become a wave offering to the Lord, only after they are lifted up to the Lord. Wave offerings, they were the portion that belonged to the priest. Numbers chapter 18, verse 11. This also is yours, the contribution of their gift, all the wave offerings of the people of Israel, I have given them to you. And so in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 20, the wave offering is holy to the Lord for the priest. The wave offering, having been lifted up to the Lord, was to be given to the priest who had been consecrated to the Lord. Wave offerings were the priest's portion. And the point of saying all this is to see that wave offerings were unique and special. They were uniquely related to the tabernacle. Once something had been waved before the Lord, or once something had been lifted up to the Lord, it was to stay with the Lord, to stay in His house, to stay in His presence. The wave offering, it was the priest's portion of the peace offerings of the people. Those peace offerings that signified fellowship with God. The wave offering, once it had been waved before the Lord, once it had been lifted up to the Lord, it could not be removed from the presence of God. And so in the Feast of First Fruits, the fruit of the kingdom is offered first to God, and then the fruit of that kingdom was enjoyed by His people. In the Feast of First Fruits, the fruit of the kingdom is offered first to God, and then that fruit is enjoyed by God's people. And when were those first fruits offered? The Feast of First Fruits took place on the day after the Sabbath. And which day is that? That is the first day of the week. The Feast of First Fruits was to take place on the first day of the week. The first fruits of the land were offered on the day after the Sabbath. The first fruits of the land were offered on the first day of the week. And so what are we being told in Leviticus? That on the first day of the week, the first fruits of the kingdom of God were to be lifted up to the Lord. And so it was that on the first day of the week, Christ Jesus, having given his life for the deliverance of his people, was raised from the dead and lifted up to the Lord as the first fruits of God's kingdom, as the first fruits of new creation, as the first fruits of the world to come. Christ Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. Christ Jesus was raised on the feast of first fruits. Christ the firstborn was delivered up for the sins of his people. And Christ the first fruits has been raised for the life of his people. He became your Passover lamb that was slaughtered. And he has become the first fruits of the kingdom of heaven, lifted up to the Lord, that you might enjoy that kingdom with him. The Lord Jesus Christ has become the offering of first fruits to the Lord. And as a wave offering, where else must he be but with the Lord? The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they were fulfilled in the death of Christ. And the Feast of First Fruits, it has been fulfilled in the resurrection of Christ. In the resurrection of Christ on the first day of the week. He was lifted up to the Lord for you. But why was he lifted up to the Lord for you? Why was the offering of first fruits lifted up to the Lord? The offering of first fruits was lifted up to the Lord in order that God's people might enjoy the fruit of his kingdom. And this is why Christ was lifted up to the Lord for you, in order that you might be lifted up to the Lord in him. He was lifted up for you, that you might be lifted up in him. He was raised for you, that you might be raised with him. The harvest begins with the first fruits, but the harvest does not end with the first fruits. The harvest begins with Christ, but it does not end with Christ. It ends with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to him. By his grace, through faith, you belong to him. On this day, on the day of first fruits, Christ was raised for you. Christ was raised for you, that you might be raised with him. He was lifted up to the Lord for you, that you might be lifted up in him. He was offered to the Lord for you, that you might enjoy the fruit of the kingdom of God. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. To him be the glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word. And we thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead as the first fruits of your kingdom. And we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us by this word, that we might indeed be steadfast and immovable to the end. We do long that he would come again, when he will lift us up with him, when we will be with him forever. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.